Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Mission Control Podcast, Episode 3, presented by Apollo Media. I am your host, Josh Desma. You can follow me at ApolloDes1. Today we have two Apollo Media team members coming onto the podcast, Mr. Little Bro Taylor and Nat David Silva. Both gentlemen, we went into a bit of things and into what they like about Houston sports, what they do for Apollo Media. Taylor called from the surface of the moon, so I apologize if the audio is not great. He's our rowdy roughneck. Every time he comes around, it's always a tornado. So we'll jump into it here in a second, but just want to preface some things. We talk about the Apollo Media flying saucer get up pop-up shop, and as of right now, it is postponed due to the coronavirus. We recorded this podcast last week, and we're launching it almost, you know, a week later, but so we mentioned it on there, disregard that. Still a good conversation of how excited we are for it coming up. We're hopeful that in the coming times we'll be able to do that, because at the end of all this, everyone in Houston's gonna have to band together. We've done it before. We've done it in the past. I know there's videos of people fighting over toilet paper and water right now, but I think when this passes, we'll all come together, band as a community like we always do, and support local businesses. So be on the lookout for that. I know we've been hitting the Twitch stream pretty hard this past week. Tune in on that. It's pretty fun. We have some local regulars in there now. They actually, you know, when we don't have enough people, they actually game with us. So we play some MLB The Show. We play some Call of Duty. If that's not your scene, that's fine. If you just want to hang out with us and break up the monotony of the day, come in, jump into the stream, chat. We'll have a good time. We, you know, interact. We have a good time, and it's just something to do during this little social distancing period. So let's hop into the first interview. It is Mr. Little Bro Taylor Jackson. He's a great guy, great writer. We touch on sports, the Roughnecks. We talk about Love Island. I don't know how the conversation got away from us, but we're both fans of trashy UK show. So tune in, and then we go into David Silva right after that. Talk about everything. He'll actually be gaming with me quite a bit over this social distancing period. So let's jump right into it. Our next guest is at Little Bro Taylor, the main man, the rowdy roughneck Taylor. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing okay. I've actually been in self-quarantine for the past week or so. So just, no, I'm lying. I just got back from McIntyre's. No, it's good. It's good.
Now, are you self-quarantined because your roughnecks are not going to play another snap this year, or due to the coronavirus?
You know what? It's a little bit of sadness, but at the same time, I'm not taking it as a lost season. I am taking this as a championship season, because that's what we are. Let's be honest. There was no other team that was going to come even fucking close to the Roughnecks, okay? PJ Walker, Cam Phillips, this entire defense. I don't want to get too far into it right now, but yes, it's a championship. So are you congratulating me right now on our championship?
I will congratulate the city. you know, Houston itself is we're championship town.
That's right.
It's another banner. Hang it. No asterisks involved. 5-0.
What's funny is there probably will be a fucking asterisk on this one. Yeah. But you know
how convenient that is.
Wait, I think we've proven as a city we don't give a shit about asterisks.
Exactly. And actually, I'm waiting for my XFL champion shirt to come in from our merch store. I think that's one of Josh's best designs.
I'm ready. My finger is on the purchase button right now.
Yeah, Go ahead, click it. I know that we're sending a few out to Cam and PJ and some other guys. So hopefully we can get some photos of them rocking that gear.
And let's appreciate. I mean, I know the season ended a bit early, but let's appreciate what these guys really did for us. Like, we were in a unique position of the city where our famed championships were all of a sudden just riddled by doubters all over the nation. And this team gave us a damn good team to watch in, like, when we really needed it. And
oh, absolutely.
Watching this Roughnecks team has been the highlight of my past month and a half, 2 months. Like, it has been a honor to watch these dudes ball out. And it's been a college vibe in the fact that you see everybody's trying to earn it. Like, you see they're working for something. And, you know, you see the passion. You see it. I feel like that gets lost a bit in the NFL. You know, the bit of the professionalism takes over. But, you know, Vince McMahon's been a showman his whole life, and he didn't fuck us here. I mean, we got to watch some damn entertaining sports.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest issue going in my mind, was that how artificial is this going to be? How much are they going to inject that into this league? But it came about organically, at least from, the Roughnecks' point of view. I mean, 20,000 strong at the stadium. Obviously, it helps having a dynamic quarterback and receiver and June Jones's offense, but it was pretty organic. It wasn't artificial. It wasn't fake. I can't speak for the entire league itself and other cities, but on the Houston side of things, it was legit. And it came at a time when it was a PR shitstorm. It's been hell since Howie Kendrick hit a ball off a right field foul pole, and they actually came in and you know they changed a lot of perspective on for a lot of people, and it turned out great. I'm really upset that it ended early, but champions forever, Flags Fly forever.
That's right, they do. And I mean, I think this league at least got enough coverage within the national media, on Twitter, on everywhere, to it says it's going for a second season. I believe them. I think this second season is going to come to fruition. I think we're going to get to see our Roughnecks come out and dominate again. And I just hope we can support our dudes all offseason, because this isn't like a lot of the other athletes. Like, these guys are living on little contracts. So I hope we can keep a lot of these guys around, not looking for other work. And, I mean, with this Corona thing, I mean, I hate that this is all we get to talk about, but this is all you really can talk about.
Yeah, it is. It's a global pandemic. It's dominated the world, dominated sports in the last 4 or 5 days, putting everything to a halt. And it's tough. It's a different time for sure, because
I mean, there's never been anything like this.
Nothing ever. I mean. There's been pandemics before, but there's nothing been like this in this day and age where it shuts everything down like this. I mean, not a disease.
I would say this is the biggest moment, really, since 9/11. Like, once the NBA shut down, and then quickly after, March Madness is gone, NHL canceled, MLB pushed back. Now we're getting word that this shit may not even start till June. This is going to be a rough couple months.
Yeah, for sure. I think I have an emergency podcast episode 2, and it should be out tomorrow. And episode 3, this one will be out later on in the week. But I touched on that. It was just I said that the 30 for 30 for that day for that in 30 years time is going to be crazy, because it was just a snowball effect. It went from Rudy Gobert in his mics and doing his little thing.
What an asshole.
I mean,
what an asshole.
He has to play. He can't play in the NBA anymore. There's no way. Like, there's he's gonna be blackballed. Like,
and my favorite joke on Twitter. My favorite joke on Twitter right now is you got to give Rudy Gobert the Defensive Player of the Year because he shut the whole league down.
I mean, he didn't shut the whole. He shut down all of sports.
Oh God! Yeah,
it was insane. But also, like, as big of an idiot that of how he acted and the antics he did, that's why I'm calling him an idiot. But if it wasn't for that, like, teams are still playing this week and they're probably more exposed to the virus. So there was a silver lining to it all, where even though it halted everything, at least getting all these players and their families and the fans that were going to the games, you know, less exposed. But I mean, it's crazy. It's a crazy time, man. It's an absolute crazy time.
I guess that's good in the fact. I mean, you don't want anybody to get hurt from this, you know. Like, obviously, the spiel of it is, you know, young people won't get affected from it. But like, you got to think about, you know, your grandparents and the infrastructure that'll be affected by. I mean, it's a whole domino effect, and I mean, I think cutting everything off is the right choice. It's just the annoying choice. Like,
yeah, it's really inconvenient, but it is the right choice. And
because you can't be the ones that, like, let's say the Bucks are just like, nah, we're gonna go ahead and do it, and all of a sudden there is a huge outbreak in Milwaukee. Like, you cannot be the reason some city has a massive outbreak.
Exactly, you can't be the last one holding the bag, and it's. Be safe and sorry at this point, and, you know, reassess. Obviously, hopefully, I don't know what we're going to do on a community standpoint, not to get in the weeds, but either shutting it all down and everyone's quarantining their own homes.
Well, I mean, that's what they're doing over in Europe. I mean, and yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if this shit came over the Atlantic real quick. Like, I don't know. It's just a strange, strange time. I don't have any other, like, past experiences to go off of here. Like, at first, we all didn't take it serious because we had Ebola, we had swine flu, we had, you know, these kind of things that the media made us scared about in the time and turned out to be not shit, really. And now we're in the midst of something that is apparently very real. And
yeah, I had a buddy who's a contractor in Beijing, and he texted us in January, and he was like, hey, there's some shit going down. I really don't know what's going on. We're getting stopped everywhere we go. We're getting our temperatures taken. And obviously it happened in Wuhan, but he was in Beijing, and he was saying all this stuff early in January. So me being who I am and the started, you know, put my tinfoil hat on and started researching all this stuff, and I was like, this could be something. I don't know if it's gonna be what it is. And sure enough, you know, 2 months later, and I was the one that looked like an idiot, you know, a month ago, grabbing up, you know, Theraflu and all these medicines and frozen foods just to stock up in the fridge just to get a supply. And people are looking at me, and, you know, I went to HEB today, which is probably like the whole point of not going out. But I mean, it was a limit for everything you can get, to water, toilet paper, to bleach. I mean, it was ridiculous, and people were still stacking their carts. So yeah. It's stuck between a hysteria and a pandemic, and it's strange times, and it's bled into the sports world, and we really don't. You know, we would really be talking about March Madness right now. It's Selection Sunday. We'd be talking about teams going to March Madness.
I'm so mad. Today, I was at the bar watching Kevin Durant hoop in the Sweet 16 for Texas.
Yeah. I told this. I have a multi-million dollar idea for ESPN, and they probably will never listen to this. But what they should do is put – I mean, there's no sports to talk about, so there's no point of having your personalities on, but having a loop of every 30 for 30, just have it looped on your ESPN channel, and then having, you know, Stump the Shop, all those classic games on ESPN, like,
yes.
Just have it running on loop, because everyone's be sitting at home or working from home. I mean, I think by the end of next week, we'll see that everyone's going to be at their home, so...
I think there's a bunch of more recent games that we don't really view as, you know, all-time games because we're always in the moment. But, like, let's say they put on that old Monday night game between Green Bay and Seattle, the old Aaron Rodgers throw. Or yeah. they put on...
with the fake refs.
Yes, yes. Or they put on, like, there are so many games. You can put on game 6, 2005 NLCS, watch Pujols hit a ball a billion miles. Like, there is a ton of semi-recent games that we don't view as classic yet because we haven't had, because we're always so in the moment now. And yeah, absolutely. We want to, like, what game is going on today? Like, I would rather watch, like, a darts tournament today than a rerun of an awesome game yesterday.
I'm telling you, the content on Twitter of just, like, the guys, like, doing parodies to bowling and darts highlights.
Yes,
and curling.
Yes.
It is laugh out loud funny. And it sucks that we have to resort to that now, but... It's crazy. I really don't know. I mean, there's a report just before we hopped on the pod that baseball may not be back till June. And I have a buddy who's a minor league umpire. He's making his way to the show. And he talked about it. He sent us a text. And I won't say his name just so he doesn't get his cover blown. But their union's telling them to prepare for 2 months of not working. So... as a minor league umpire, you know, he obviously gets paid for the season, but when he's not umpiring, you know, he has to do other things. And so that's 2 months of, you know, of him finding a new job. And
that goes for everybody working in the stadiums, the grounds crews.
Yeah, like 100%.
And 100%. Here's what I'm thinking about, like, a timeline to come back. Like, this isn't a hurricane. This isn't a tornado or a flood, or this is something that won't have a definite end for a minute.
Yeah, when do you say, okay, time to go back? And then what happens if there's another flare up?
That's like, right. That's right.
Season end or
so
or what?
That's what worries me, is they're gonna think that, I mean, I have this, I almost don't want to say it, but I have this fear in the back of my heart that the 2020 season just will not happen for baseball.
Absolutely. I am. And I've been thinking about that same comment in the back of my head, and as each day passes,
You almost don't want to say it because I don't want to, like, speak shit into existence, but it all comes back to, you
know.
Can't be the reason. You can't be the reason this shit, like, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I agree, because you don't want to be the reason why, and you don't think about it. Baseball's going to have another spring training. So what, May, we're back in May, and then the guys got to go back to spring training and get another 2 to 3 weeks in. So you're not starting until June. And that's if everything from today, what is today's date? The 15th, March 15th, from here on out goes perfect. And we don't live in a world where everything goes perfect. So I think it's just going to be, you know what? This is what the league gets. The league wanted the Astros suspended. The Astros got suspended for the entire year. It just happens to be the league got suspended as well.
And that's right.
That's what you
Hinch
wanted.
He's gonna
and
be our fucking manager the next time we play.
What a plot twist that would be. he sat out an entire fiscal year, and he could come back.
I think that's the way it works. Does it say one season or 1 year?
I don't know. I think we have to look into that, because that would be the greatest. That is like an M. Night Shyamalan twist, right there. Like,
that
all
would
of a sudden
be
we have AJ Hinch.
Incredible.
I mean. That would be, I mean, it would suck that, you know, Verlander
really don't watch baseball.
Freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. They lose a year and they're older. And
all right. So I'm a little confused. How is this going to work with the contracts? Like,
I think it's a no year.
So let's say there's no baseball played this year. Do we have George Springer the next time we play baseball?
I would assume so, but I feel like there's going to be so much legality between agents and other lawyers and everything. Like, what if a pitch isn't thrown? I guess I guess it would. I don't know how they operated in the past with the when the union, you know, what's it called? They did a lockout. Like, did that count as a year? Like, I don't know how that works.
Very confusing.
It's strange times. Strange times.
Let me ask you this. I mean, this has been something. This is a point that baseball fans and mostly non-baseball fans that want to get into baseball have kind of pressed for a while. Do you think the MLB uses this unique opportunity to test a 82-game season or 100-game season?
They might. I mean, this would be a perfect time to do it.
Honestly, I've been pressing for this forever. 162 is way too many games. We don't need that many games. Like, I hate when I'm watching baseball in the middle of July and just thinking in the back of my head, this game doesn't fucking matter. Like it matters because, you know, you get to the end, it all comes down to one or two games. But, like, in the moment, you just don't feel like it matters. But you cut this shit in half, every single game, every pitch is going to feel more and more like playoffs. And that's where the NFL gets its bread and butter from, is because they only have, 17 games. And every play matters. Every play could impact the entire season.
Yeah, I think it's a really thin margin now if you cut it in half directly, because how many times do teams have a hot start, have a hot first 3 months, and fall out towards the end? If it's 82 games, I mean, as a fan, I don't like it because my edge is a lot thinner and some teams can stick around and you can't essentially lean on teams at the end of the season in August and September where you get those wins because teams have either given up or tanking. But now in an 82-game season, everyone's still there. Everyone has a chance. And as Major League Baseball, from their side of things, why not have a competitive league where everyone's in it essentially? But as a fan, I don't like it because this narrows my margin of winning a championship. But the product in a whole would be better.
I understand that. But as a fan, come out of the gate swinging. You have a whole offseason. Get prepared. That's what the NFL players do. Like, week one, they don't get to fuck around for, like, the first 4 weeks. Like, that matters. Like, I want opening day to matter. Like, not just in the fact of setting the tone for the season, but for the fact that you need this win. I want every single time I'm watching a baseball game to think, you need this win. And it's, I don't know. I guess it's just a difference in, because obviously I know our dudes, the Astros, are built for long seasons. Yeah. But
I don't hate it.
For the future of the game, I would like this to move faster. I would like things to mean more. I would like there to be less of a I don't care period, which is literally.
Yeah, I feel like the biggest thing is Major League Baseball has never been in it for the fans. So from,
you know, that on Twitter,
limiting content creators and on Twitter and blackballing accounts to such a traditional dinosaur archaic method. They don't let the guys be the guys because you have so many old dinosaurs get angry and baseball purists get angry when someone shows a little flair, and the game's changed. The game has revolutionized with younger kids. You have guys that are superstar athletes that are 22, 23 years old who are going to pimp home runs and you know, pop their chain and, you know, let you know when they made a play in the field and or even on the mound when they strike you out. And that's what gets clicks. That's what gets likes. That's where the game is. But baseball as a whole tries to suppress that, and it's a failed model. It's a dying model.
They're just too submersed in this in a TV world, and that's not where we are anymore. Like,
it's all about their big contracts.
And it sucks to see, like, places like the NBA. Like, I love the NBA. I love watching the Rockets. The NBA is the one league where I can watch any team and have fun. Like, maybe NFL, but that's mainly based on my fantasy teams. Like, the NBA just makes it fun to watch because I can go on Twitter right after something happens and I will see, like, an edit of, like, some crazy dunk that just happened. And you just can't get that in the MLB. And it's frustrating. Like, y'all are shooting yourselves in the foot. Like, we want to grow this sport. We want to, like, get people excited, make it fun to watch, but y'all just won't let us.
Yeah, and I think it comes to a point where new blood has to come in with that vision. It's something. I'm trying to pull up the tweet right now. I mean, Mike Trout's the biggest star in the sport. I mean, he is a for sure 100% voted Hall of Famer. And it took Mike Trout hitting golf balls at Twitter, I mean, excuse me, at Topgolf, hitting rockets to be like the most viral tweet. To be the most viral tweet for the Angels. And it was just him hitting, you know, and it went viral everywhere where everyone was talking about it. And I bet half the people had no idea who this Mike Trout dude was.
And because it wasn't an officiated MLB game and everybody could post it however they'd like.
Yeah, exactly. And it shouldn't take, you know, Sally down the road to know who Mike Trout is because of some viral tweet. They should already know who he is. But
and that was the moment.
It's things like that.
That was the moment last season where I knew Rob Manfred was a fucking clown. Like, let's be honest. He fucked up the Astros situation.
Yeah, like, he definitely should have stripped us from the title.
Yes, but all right, since he didn't, I'm gonna rep it. But
absolutely, like, we're champions.
Oh yeah, we're the champs. Flags fly forever. But the fact he didn't punish a single player, never mind. I'm losing track. When he told Mike Trout, he made, I don't remember what the exact statement was, but it was something along the lines of, like, Mike Trout should be marketing himself better or something like that.
Yeah, I do remember.
Fuck you, dude. You are the commissioner of this entire league. Go make sure every single person knows who your best player's name is. I can go to my great grandma and go be like, LeBron James. She knows who that is.
Yep.
Go tell her, Tom Brady, she knows who that is. Mike Trout, I don't know. Is that the dude that's supposed to come fix the lights later? Or yeah,
it's ridiculous. And I hope that whatever they do, if we do play, they market it, they open it up as a free market for everyone this year, because it's great business for us at Apollo, but as a whole, it probably puts some lifeblood in a dying sport and a dying market, which sucks because baseball is such a damn good sport.
And, you know, they've gone on this trend pretty much since, like, 05, 09, somewhere in that range, where they just don't allow internet content, and they've continued to keep that trend because that's what they've had. They don't want to break the status quo. I think this situation gives them a very unique opportunity to break that status quo, and I hope they take advantage of it. If they don't, then I mean, just one more fucking knock on the MLB.
Yeah, and I mean, we can beat the dead horse, but It's gonna be interesting how everyone navigates this coronavirus, because I guess the pressure's on basketball to see if they come back online first.
Because they're the first season.
Yeah,
they're in season. So
I kind of knew that once basketball pulled the plug, that every sport would follow. Obviously, the trickle down effect went everywhere, but it's gonna be interesting who's gonna be. Hey, we're ready to go, and obviously it's gonna probably be with no fans too. It'll be empty stadiums. until they kind of get this under control.
But do you think they would rather start with empty stadiums rather than wait an extra month and hope for starting with a full stadium?
I think as a billion-dollar corporation, I would rather get my product out there early with no fans, because they're going to get their money anyways with, you know, viewers. Everyone and their mother, it could literally be a scrimmage of a scrimmage game on a basketball, you know, practice stream somewhere, and people will watch. I guarantee it will be the most viewers.
I live streamed a Wiffle Ball game yesterday.
Yeah.
From it's gonna be in, like, Massachusetts. Like,
whatever you do first, whatever you stream first, people will flock to it. So I think they can get away with it for the first month and coming back early and just having empty stadiums. But
yeah, that'd be a weird sight. That'd be a weird, weird sight. Cool.
The Premier League, the Champions League in soccer, half the games that they played this past 2 weeks, they were empty stadiums, and it was really, really weird. I mean, you could hear everyone, every teammate talking, which was really cool. It was a cool. I mean, at that point, you should just mic everyone up and have those conversations.
I
and
love even the idea.
The UFC this past weekend, they fought in Brazil to empty arenas. So I think you should get creative.
I saw, what was it, Dana White say today, come out with the thing that they don't plan on canceling any of their fights.
Yeah, Dana, there's just a lot of risk. I mean, obviously, if no fighter is sick, he's going to reap all the benefits, but there's just a lot of downside to that decision. But hey, when you own a billion-dollar company, you can do those type of things, and I'm happy for it. I have something to do on the weekends to watch.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I just need to see something happening on the TV screen again. It's just, it's blowing my mind right now. I've watched like three seasons of Love Island. I don't know what the fuck to do with that sports.
Bro, I'm not gonna shame you. Love Island is the shit.
It is, especially the UK version.
The UK Love Island's.
Yes.
It's that dirty TV. I mean, I was guilty watching Jersey Shore growing up, but like that's that dirty TV. You're just like, wow, I just watched 5 hours of this shit, but you're
just ended season 6 of Love Island UK last night. I tried to start the Australia one, but it looked like they were just kind of, it looks like a bunch of people in Australia watched Love Island and then just tried to recreate it on their own.
Yeah, that's what the U.S. version was wrong, too. I only watched the U.K. because it's dirty, it's organic. Yeah, it is perfect. And we'll probably have all 10 listeners right now, you know, turning off the podcast. But
shout out to my royal couple, Paige and Finn.
Yeah, absolutely. But Taylor, I mean, it's been a long journey. We're here right now doing a podcast. You came aboard when we were Flags Fly Forever 2 years ago.
What did I do? I sent you a big ass like email proposal.
You did. Something. You sent me a DM. You sent me a DM that was at that point, honestly, I was like, I'm just trying to get off this ground. Like, I don't know what I'm gonna do, but your proposal was one for the history books. And if my account wasn't suspended right now, I'd probably have it. But
I bet I can find it. We'll publish it one day.
Yeah, we will. It was great. And so we brought you aboard to blog. You're a creative writer. And other than the 5 a.m. Calls and the...
Hey, that's why my brain's ticking. I annoy the shit out of this dude. Between the hours of like 3 a.m. to 7 a.m., like he'll probably get three different monologues from me.
Exactly. And so everyone knows at home, Taylor is one of the best writers I've ever came across, and he will send me an idea at like 2 a.m. My phone will go off, and then by the time I wake up, you know, around, you know, 6:37, and I have like five messages from him, and it's like the first message I read is 1,000 times different than the last message I read.
It's I just talk my way through it.
It's so creative. And like Taylor will send a message like, hey, should we do this at, you know, 2 a.m.? And by like 6 a.m., he's like, don't worry, I figured it out, but this is what we're going to do now. And it's the complete opposite of what he was going to do at 2 a.m. But the end product is always a great read. It's a great idea. And I'm so thankful for you coming on the team, you know, 2 years ago when we were Flags and now at Apollo Media. Obviously, you get more you have more seniority and you're leaned on more on my side of things. But we're super thankful to have you on the team, man.
Well, I mean, the basis of this entire thing is because I saw you had the exact same vision as me in that the Houston as a whole, we can dive into sports, but Houston as a whole is just thrown by the wayside to the national media. And it's just absolutely disrespectful. This is one of the greatest cities in the entire world. Largest medical center in the world. Oil and gas producer of the entire nation. Fourth biggest population. I mean, there's no reason for us to be in the state we are. And we have a duty as Houstonians to change that shit. And I'm glad to be here with you, Josh Rose, and the whole fucking team to be changing that narrative.
Yeah, I feel like we've harped on it all month. There's a huge void in the marketplace, and we're filling it, and we're going to continue to fill it. But it takes two things, and it's nothing me or Josh Rose can do. It's the two things are, one, having an audience that's engaged and wanting to hear, see new things. And
that's two, right. I love having you guys.
Having a team in place that, one, has the same vision and work ethic. Some people try to harp on, I got to hire the best talent, where me and Josh were like, hey, let's hire the people and bring on the people that have the same vision that we have. And then we can figure out where we want to put them and figure out what's best for them and what they're going to do. And there's so many people behind the scenes of Apollo Media working their asses off and continuing going to work their asses off through this Corona pandemic to get the best content and stuff out there for
We're going to come up with some stuff. We're going to come up with some good stuff. We don't know what yet, but we have some shit in the works, and we're going to get some good shit out to you. Like, we're going to make sure this bullshit period of no sports doesn't leave you without entertainment.
Exactly. And I sent an episode too. I was like, we're just going to keep shooting shots. If something could fail, hey, it failed, we own it. Let's keep going to the next thing.
Keep throwing at the wall. We'll see what sticks.
Exactly. And it takes having a creative team, and I think we've put that together. Obviously, we're always growing, and we're going to continue to grow. But for right now, I couldn't be happier. The last 3 weeks has gone off as perfect as what I would envision. Obviously, there's some few technical difficulties we've had, but it's just the part of the bumps and bruises we're going to accumulate and go into the moon. It's truly great.
And with those bumps and bruises, I mean, I want to tell everybody who is taking the time out of their day to listen to things like this with us to share our vision. I appreciate you guys. We share the vision. We are going for a Houston takeover, okay? And we want to make sure we are giving you guys the content you deserve to experience in your everyday lives. Because people over in New York, LA, Chicago, Boston, they get this shit. They get their hometown heroes and they get quality content. We have not had that here. So that is the essence of us building here. And that's what I strive every single day to try to give to you guys. Because I know y'all deserve it.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And I think as we grow and as time goes on, the vision I had for this year has completely been thrown out the window. So as a company, we're pivoting, we're going to find things, we're going to do things that makes sense for everyone. And as of now, we're still on for our pop-up store next Saturday at the Flying Saucer downtown on Main Street. We'll be there. The Apollo Media crew will be there as long as there's no law or no martial law or presidential creed or anything that shuts down the city. We'll be there between 1 and 6 at Flying Saucer. As of right now, you know, March 15th. So we'll be out there. We'll have shirts. We'll have some pretty cool discount codes for everyone that's in the store to use. Only able to use those discount codes and get those if you're there. So come on out. We'll practice social distancing. We'll be, 4 or 5 feet away. We'll talk Astros. We'll talk sports. We'll talk weather. We'll talk whatever you want.
We'll get air fist bumps.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll drink some beers. So come on out if you're in the city still. We're still online.
I'm going to be there. It's going to be a damn good time.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think everyone over at the Flying Saucer as well, they've been so accommodating, and they're great partners, and been hunting them for a while to get them partnered up with Apollo Media. So it'll be a fun event, and maybe it's a break to get away from all the hysteria and all the anxiety and whatever. Come on out, and if we're still allowed to, we'll be there.
We'll talk about the sports that could be happening right now.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about March Madness opening weekend.
Yeah, we'll live stream like the 1993 March Madness.
Yeah, we'll just flip coins and we can bet on that.
I have no idea what happens, but I want to put my money on Duke.
It's gonna be man, I don't know. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun these next few months. We'll figure it out. Everyone will figure it out.
Main thing is we fucking love you guys, dude. Like, everybody giving us support right now, we appreciate y'all so much, and we are here for you, okay? Like, absolutely. Our entire motivation for creating this thing is for you guys. So y'all got any comments, anything like that, y'all let us know. We want to be here for you guys.
Yeah, 100%. The product is our people, not the paper product. It's truly about the family and community we created, and
we're more of an intellectual product.
Yeah, absolutely. that's 100% it. And it's gonna be it'll be rocky, but we'll be here. We'll think of ways. I know I haven't slept in 4 or 5 days, just trying to think of things to do for everyone. But in the meantime, to see everyone post their photos of our merchandise, to see them be so supportive on social media, I can't thank you guys enough. It's truly thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Hey, it's no worry, though. Houston always finds a way. H-Town, yeah, baby.
Absolutely. But, Taylor, we'll wrap up. It's been 40 minutes. It's been a great conversation with you. We'll have you on a lot more. We'll have the podcast coming out probably – 2 times a week is my goal. Obviously, we have to get it all produced and edited on behind the scenes, but we want to rotate everyone, all the team members, so everyone at Apollo Media can tell their story a bit. And
a lot of great people.
Put a voice and face to them, for everyone to know and understand who they're reading and watching and stuff like that. So, Taylor, thanks for coming on, bro. We'll have you on soon, again, but you can follow Taylor at Little Bro Taylor on Twitter. Go read his Roughnecks blogs. We have his championship blog coming up, tomorrow, Monday, the 16th,
because it was the championship.
It was the championship. We are champions. We'll link the championship t-shirt as well at the bottom of his blog. But Taylor, keep on riding, bro. Keep on doing what you're doing. I'm thankful for you. And we'll holler at you a little later, all right?
All right. Love you guys. Go next.
Yes, sir. Is the infamous David Silva Jr. You can find him at on his Twitter at Silva. DJR_94. David, how are you today, sir?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm stockpiled. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to take on the coronavirus that's ravaging the world right now and our sports world.
Yeah, I feel you on that one. I have to go, I don't know, fight about 10 people probably for just a shopping cart alone, which I think I lost that battle because I didn't get one.
Yeah, it's crazy out there. It's I went to HEB today and it looked like World War Z. Just everything was gone. And it was, you know, 11 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. And I was like, well, what is going on? But, you know, here we are. We're in the middle of March and we have no sports for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, that's going to be tough because, you know, I don't know if anybody's seen my tweet, but we're on 5 days without no sports, and I just found out I have a girlfriend.
That's true, man. It's crazy. But the content on Twitter right now is peak Twitter. I haven't seen anything this good with the memes and the video content people are putting out. I mean, leave it to social media. The end of the world's happening. And we're still making fire content online.
Yeah, I think everything's just a big joke to everybody, but maybe it's a way to everybody to cope with what they got going on. I don't know.
Yeah, 100%. And David, we brought you on Apollo Media. We reached out a couple of months ago. Obviously, you've been a staple on Astros Twitter. Your photography, your uncensored tweet. Twitter page and everything about it, you know, you line up perfectly for what me and Josh wanted to, you know, bring along with Apollo Media. So one, thank you, and two, what's been your thoughts so far throughout the launch? Obviously, there's a big curveball thrown our way, but want to hear kind of your perspective on it and your views.
Well, when Josh at Josh Rose reached out to me, it was. Had to have been late October probably. He asked me and I was kind of shocked by it. One, because you know, I started doing those wallpaper edits during the Astros playoffs just recently, last year, and that was kind of really the first time that I've ever really done anything like that. I had been on Photoshop for a little while, but I had never gotten into it, and so he asked me. He's like, hey, we got this going on. You know, we like what you've done so far. How would you like to be involved? And the first thing I told him was, I've never done anything. You know, I was like, this is the first time. I was like, I'm not even that good. I'm not one of these Photoshop professionals. And he was like, man, that's no problem. You know, he's like, everything you've done so far, we've really liked. And, you know, everything. I was like, man, if you ain't got a problem with it, well, shit, let's fucking go. Pretty much. And yeah, so since then, you know, he's kept me in the loop with what's been going on, ran by the details that, all right, we got, you know, this section going. And I mean, pretty much hit the ground running once we hopped on.
Yeah, it's turned out great. And I've touched on some podcasts that we've done already, but it was all about finding people that have the same vision we did, and I'll keep harping on it. It's not about the person with a million followers or the person that creates something every single day. But if their, you know, visions don't align with ours, it's never going to fit. You know, it's trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. It just doesn't work. So finding people like David and you know, Taylor and everyone from Robert to Colin, everyone that is part of the Apollo Media team is their vision's in line with ours, and our key focus is just taking this bad boy to the moon. Obviously, we have a huge curveball with the coronavirus that sets everything back, but behind the scenes, we're pivoting. We're figuring out ways to create content and keep everyone engaged and wanting to see what Apollo Media is going to do next, and I think that motivates all of us a lot.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, like you say, we got, you know, things going on in the background, things that we've talked about doing even before the whole non-sports things, you know, maybe some of the stuff that we talked about, we can go ahead and push that ahead of schedule, you know, try to get that stuff worked on. You know, you guys know what I'm about, you know, what I want to do and what I've been about since I hopped on. So, yeah, I mean, It's a challenge, but it's something that's going to, I think, help us grow because it'll help us diversify what we want to do aside from just the sports alone.
Yeah, 100%. And keep pushing the ball down the field. I texted Josh, and I forgot to put in the group message, but I was like, we are the lovable bunch of idiots that decided to start a company in the middle of a global pandemic, the biggest cheating scandal in maybe all of sports, and you know, we're still throwing up shots. And I think that kind of just is a testament to us as a whole. No matter what's going on, as long as the walls are still standing around us, we're gonna keep throwing shots up. So super thankful to have you on the team. Obviously, your photography skills is second to none. What have you always had a passion for photography, or what came about that?
So I think I kind of had an idea that I enjoy doing it. excuse me. My mom, she had bought a camera a long time ago. You know, just like any other mom would, buy the camera, wants to take pictures of her kids, you know, whatnot. And I picked it up, you know, a few times when my older sister would play softball and my younger sister would play softball, just getting shots, messing around with it. I put it down for a long time, didn't touch it. And I believe it was 2015, I got the idea, well, you know, my son, he's 2 years old, and I wanted a decent camera to where I could get, you know, good pictures of him and whatnot. So I was asking around, you know, asking a lot of friends who were into photography, and they're like, well, you know, this is a good camera, this is a good camera. So I bought a camera, Nikon D3200, bought it used, and I was like, okay, well, you know, there's an auto setting, let me use it on auto. And then, you know, use it on auto for a couple months, and I'm like, oh, well, what does this setting do? Change the dial. Okay, this does that. Well, what does this setting do? I don't know what this setting does, so let me ask about it. Went back and asked my friends, hey, what is this? Guy sends me a book. Read this. It'll help you out. Read that book at least 5 times. And I was like, all right, you know, I kind of get the understanding. Let me go try some of these things out. Tried it out. Okay, you know, this is pretty cool. You have a vision for something, and you go out and practice it and actually do it, and you see that vision happen, and like, okay, well, fuck, this is actually pretty badass. And so I kind of, you know, kept going with it, kind of kept it to where I was more studying than actually practicing photography. And, you know, I would go out every now and then do it. And then I was like, well, let me upgrade my camera. You know, I had a very basic beginner entry-level DSLR. And so I was like, well, let me upgrade. I upgraded my camera, and let me see, I believe it was 2018. I bought my second camera, and then I love it. I was like, but I need another camera. Just became one of those gear, you know, gearheads, and I bought it. But both cameras have their advantages and disadvantages. And so, yeah, I mean, just, you know, from learning on YouTube, teaching myself, it just, you know, it just happened. And I mean, I love doing it. It's good to see, you know, somebody comes up to you, hey, you know, I really like what you did, you know, and like those pictures that I posted on Twitter, you know, it got thousands of likes. Few times, you know, no matter how many times I posted that one picture of, you know, Minute Maid Park with the skyline in the back, that was like, okay, well, you know, a lot of people like it, you know. And then I posted the one where Minute Maid was lit up orange. That one ran off, and I was like, whoa, like, what the fuck? Like, I wasn't expecting that. But yeah, you know, I had been on it, like I said, since like 2015, and it's just been something that's kept me, I guess, sane in a way, because there's always different things, different techniques, and different ways to edit, different, you know, I can go on and on about the different things you can do with photography alone. But yeah, I mean, that's just pretty much what it is and how I got into it, really.
Yeah, I think the first time you kind of came across my timeline, it was when I was still running Flags Fly Forever. And I saw that skyline photo on, it was, you know, already going viral a bit. I was like, damn, this photo is sick. And I actually had it as my phone background for like all of last year, and before we even met and knew you. And then, so, I mean, that was pretty cool to see. And then I saw when you lit up the, you know, orange Minute Maid Park and snapped that one. And I was like, this guy's got a freaking talent. And so, pulled the curtains back a bit when Josh and me were kind of created this Marvel Avengers, you know, Houston content team, and I was like, hey, we got to get David. And he's like, look at the spreadsheet. And I was like, oh, there's David's name right there too. So I was like, this is so cool to see it come about. But to hear your passion about photography, and obviously at Apollo Media, you're going to be able to utilize that and capitalize on that and create some cool shit with some other talented content people. I'm super excited to see that, because that is not something I'm capable of doing. I have a drone. I bought it to take it to Colorado, use it once, and I'm just going to hand it over to you guys and let you guys create cool shit, because it's just collecting dust over at my house right now.
Yeah, I had that problem too. You know, my two cameras that I bought no less than a year apart spent, I don't know, $1,500 on one, spent $2,000 on the other, and they were sitting there, and my girlfriend, she's like, you need to do something. You got all this stuff and you don't even use it. I was like, you're right, I do. And, you know, got on with Apollo Media, and I don't know what happened. Something happened, and it's like, all right, this went well, and then it just snowballed, and something I've been saying a lot is there's just momentum. Just momentum got built up and built up and built up, and it's just like things are actually falling in place for once. Like, you know, usually I have the shittiest of luck sometimes, which kind of with this whole coronavirus thing going on, it kind of pushed some of that luck back, you know, because I had a big deal coming up, was going to be able to get a full access media pass to the Dynamo game. You know, we have that pop-up shop, which, you know, obviously Apollo Media has been invited to, but I was also personally invited to myself, which is pretty amazing. It's a really great feeling because, you know, I had never been a part of doing something like that. And for so back-to-back weekends when something like this was supposed to happen, it's like, wow, okay, you know, this is what it feels like to get rewarded for all the hard work, you know, anybody would put into doing anything. You know, this is what they say, you know, keep pushing, keep working, you'll get rewarded. And this is what it finally is feeling like to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, the Corona incident's kind of thrown a hitch in everyone's plans. But as of now, I know you talked about the pop-up store. I said it in the last interview, all hands on deck. We're still headed out there. You know, it's March 15th recording right now. The pop-up shop's March 21st. So if we're capable and the city allows it and health officials allow it and the powers to be do, we'll be there. You'll be sitting at, I think you're going to be in the little vendor tent next to us with your photos. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep. So I talked to the manager there at the Flying Saucer, asked him like, hey, you know, and I had spoke with him before, you know, I let him know, you know, I'm also a part of the Apollo team, this and that. And, you know, he invited me. I was like, yeah, you know, that'd be awesome. I'm down. Told him, you know, would it be possible if I could set up next to these guys, you know, the Apollo guys, since I'm also a part of the team? He's like, yeah, no problem. We, you know, that should be easy enough to work. You know, obviously, I'm not going to take up much space. So, you know, they can throw me in a corner as long as you guys are next to me. But, yeah, you know, that's one thing that I've been looking forward to since, you know, like I said, being personally invited, because, you know, people can actually come out and meet us and, you know, have a conversation with us and, you know, finally get to see, you know, the faces, the actual faces behind, you know, Apollo Media, not just through a screen and not just, you know, these personalities on Twitter or Twitch, you know, or whatever it may be, you know. And so, you know, probably even if these people decide to show up in our gear or buy our gear, you know, while we're out there, you know, I'm going to have my camera out there that, you know, be snapping pictures, going to, you know, try to get a video going, you know, try to get these people involved, get them, you know, get them to help grow our brand as hard as we are, you know.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. And I hope we've vocalized that enough for everyone that Apollo Media is not ever going to be, as long as I'm around, like a Ringer or a Barstool, where the disconnect between the audience and the content creators and people working is there. So we're always going to be engaged with the audience. We're always going to be there in the trenches, fighting and working for you guys. So our main goal is to for you guys to come out and we're friends. Like, you know us, you know who we are. We're 100% authentic on what we do on the podcast and our work. So it's not going to be any different than you guys showing up and we're being the same person. So really excited. Hopefully that's going to happen. If not, if it does get canceled or postponed, you know, obviously we'll be disappointed, but I'm sure it'll happen down the road as well throughout the season, hopefully. But yeah, the main goal is just to have people come out, meet us, shoot the shit, drink some beers, talk some sports, talk about what's going on in life and everything that's going on in the world, and just get away for a moment, unplug for a bit. And we're just thankful that we can be there for everyone.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I pitched the ideas on, you know, certain things. I don't want to spill it out too much, but, you know, things to where people get involved and people can win real prizes, win merch, you know, just try to, you know, not just be an online personality or however you want to say it, but, you know, be a community, bring everybody involved and get everybody going, you know, try to get stuff going to where it becomes into a competitive level. you know, we talked about doing stuff this summer and, you know, depending on what happens with, you know, the baseball and all these sports going on, you know, maybe we can get something maybe even sooner just to get people, you know, more ready and get back into that flow of like, okay, sports are coming back. You know, it's safe to go outside. Ain't nobody going to die.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so yeah, I mean, we've got tons of stuff, you know, that we've brought to the table, that everybody's brought to the table. And, you know, hopefully we can get it going, you know, get that momentum back. Like I said, you know, get that momentum back and, you know, just run with it, you know, just like we did, hit the ground running.
Yeah, I think that's the ultimate goal. And everyone listening, we said it over and over again, we're working diligently behind the scenes and pivoting to make sure that the next few months is not going to be boring, disappointing, and just downright what am I gonna do now, because you can only watch Netflix and Hulu and HBO for so much. So hopefully we can fill that void and avenue. I'm super excited for Ozarks 3 coming out on Netflix and
Westworld. Dude, I love HBO. That show. I haven't watched Westworld, but Ozark 3, that's my shit.
Yeah, I can't wait. That's gonna be one day of the quarantine. I'm gonna binge it all and like, What the hell am I going to do now? So I really do hope that we can get what we're saying and we're going to make it happen. But I guess the big thing and some questions I just have for you and the audience can get to know you a little bit more, David, is what brought you to be a Houston sports fan? Was it obviously being here and growing up, but what was the first thing that you remembered, like, I'm ride or die for H-Town?
I don't know. I've just, anything Houston related, it's, I don't know. It's in me. It's in my blood. I don't know. You know, somebody says, oh, well, fuck Houston. No, fuck you. You know, I don't know. I don't know what it is. You know, as being a sports fan, I don't know. You know, I played baseball since I was 5 all the way till I think it was my exact 17th birthday. I played basketball for a few years in between there. I played a couple of years of soccer. So, you know, sports has always been a big part of my life. All my sisters have played softball. My youngest sister still plays softball. She plays travel ball, you know. My older sister, she played softball. We actually traveled to Colorado for a national tournament going on there. So that sports has just always been there. It's always been there. My dad, he's always been a big sports guy. He actually plays softball as well, fast pitch softball, and he did a lot of travel ball. You know, and once he got older, obviously he couldn't do that anymore, but, you know, he would join those adult leagues playing baseball. I'd always be out there, you know, watching, and my uncles were always out there, on the same team. So, yeah, I mean, it's just always been that one thing in my life where it's just always been there. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just Everything Houston is, you know, what I'm about. Once we got that XFL league and the Roughnecks, I was like, hell yeah, let's go. More football. You know, I had been pumped since they announced it.
Yeah, that took off. I was a little worried that it was going to be a little artificial and that it was going to be kind of fluffed up a bit. But Houston took the Roughnecks under their arm and embraced it. And obviously, you got some cool photos. You can, you know, check it out on your Twitter of, you know, MVPJ and some of the guys. He took some great photos. But unfortunately, I didn't get to go to any games. I was the idiot. I was like, oh, I'm gonna go to the next game. I'm gonna go to the next game, and then a global pandemic happens, and I didn't get to go to any games. But I mean, from your perspective, because you went to a couple games, 20,000 fans are there. You know, the city's embraced a championship season. We won the XFL Super Bowl, Wonder Bowl, whatever you're gonna call it. We won it. But tell us a little about how the games were when you were in the stands.
So I went to the first game, and I went to the week six game. I'm sorry, the week five game. And so between the first game and the fifth game, I would definitely say the fifth game was a lot more fun than the first game. Now, the first game, you know, it was fun. You're there. It's opening day for a brand new league, a brand new team. I was expecting 5,000 to 7,000 people to be there. There was 18,000 people, a lot more than what I, you know, obviously than I was expecting. And, you know, everybody's pumped. Everybody's ready. You know, it's interesting to see these new kickoff, the new point after attempts, the different rule changes that they have. And I mean, from day one, there's people showing up in hard hats, people showing up in overalls, people showing up without a shirt on. You know, these people had been about it since that first kickoff. And it just seemed to get even better and better and better. And when we went to the last game, the week five, the crowd was closer to 20,000. And there was better music. The whole vibe was better. I mean, I had been to one Texans game, and I had fun. You know, that's the only game I've been to. But if you compare the Texans game with 50 to 65,000 people to a Roughnecks game with 17, 18, 19, 20,000 people, I'd go to that XFL Roughnecks game. Just something about it. There's just something about it to where it's just like you're in it, you know. And it's like I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like, you know, we got a good quarterback. We got I wouldn't say a great defense. We got a pretty above average defense, you know, makes the stops when they need to make the stops. But it's just something about being out there and having everybody else also be a part of it. Not just, you know, people having side conversations, because that's what they do every single day. They go to the Texans games every single time it's, you know, at home. But just the vibe, you know, it's just, like I said, between the week one and the week five, you know, they had the music going. The music getting you pumped. You know, it's getting you excited for, okay, you know, there's a third and long. Are we going to make the stop, or are we going to give it up? Well, damn, we give it up. But guess what? We get a stop, you know, on the next third down, and we get the ball back. And there goes PJ throwing 50 yards downfield. Cam Phillips wide open. And it's like, holy fuck, that just happened, you know. And it goes to show, you know, that it's in a way, it's almost like college football. A lot of these guys are trying to make a statement for themselves to get back into the NFL, because that's where a lot of these guys came from. That's where a lot of, you know, and so they're playing, you know, for themselves, but also obviously for the team. These guys, they love playing for the XFL. They love it. There's, you know, you see, when you watch on TV, a lot of these guys are having a lot more fun playing in the XFL than what they might be doing in the NFL, you know, and obviously for 10 times less money. But it's like they say, for the love of football, you know, and I think that makes it part of it also.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head right there with it was almost a perfect blend of NFL and college football, because the guys were fighting like they do in college, because, you know, every game matters. And where, you know, the NFL, sometimes it's more of a commercialized corporation product, where the XFL was kind of in between it, and the guys looked like they were having fun. Generally, were having fun like they were, you know, back in school. And I think from the crowd experience to the game day experience with, I mean, the first highlight of the XFL, the kicker goes out there, shanks a kick, and he gets interviewed 10 seconds before, you know, right after he just shanks a kick in the ass. They put a camera in his face. They said, why'd you shank the kick? I mean, you don't get that anywhere else. You don't get that in the NFL. And so it was this creative experience for the fan and for the player that really took off. And I don't want to speak for every city, but the city of Houston bought in. Football's king in Texas, obviously, and football's a religion. But to see 20,000 people to go out on either Saturday afternoon or Sunday was really cool. And it sucks that the season came to an end. We're champions. I'm assuming PJ and Cam are probably going to be at an NFL training camp come next fall. And, you know, probably won't be on the Roughnecks roster. But it was really exciting to see that duo take the league by storm and, you know, 5 wins, 5-0, and see the city come behind them. And it was pretty dynamic to see.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, you know, these guys, they you know, they were on NFL rosters. P.J. Walker came from the Colts as a backup. Cam Phillips, I believe, was on the Buffalo Bills, got cut. And so, you know, to see that Andrew Luck made a call to his dad and say, hey, you need to give P.J. Walker a shot. You know, the man's, you know, the real deal. And for him to come back. And a lot of these wins, they weren't, you know, we blew the other team out, you know, right away. A lot of these wins were comeback wins. And specifically so this last one against Seattle, we were down 14-0, tied it up 14 at the half. They went up to 23-14, and we came back and won 32-23. Now, you know, the game shouldn't have ended the way it ended, but nonetheless it did. But also, you know, a big change between the XFL and the NFL. XFL came out right away, found, okay, this guy was at fault. He's been reassigned. You know, yeah. They didn't hide it behind the curtains. They didn't, you know, put it in the back burner. Okay, you know, he fucked up. Move on. No, they made a change, and you know, and they were clear about what was going on, and that's not the way that they're gonna conduct their business. You know, and even when you watch it on TV, they show the replay guy, the replay official, sitting there, and you see what he's seeing on how to play it. Now, they haven't gotten it perfect a few times, because there's a few times where I'm like, no, that's not the way it should have fucking happened. But nonetheless, it happened the way it did, you know. But they're clear and they're precise on how they're doing, and they're going to run the business. And I'm excited to see that they are for sure coming back next year, because I think, you know, this actually was a successful season. You know, just to see not only here in Houston, but you know, these other places in D.C. and Seattle and New York and Dallas, you know, that these people are actually coming out and actually enjoying and watching, you know, the games. So, you know, I'm excited to have them come back, and, you know, maybe I can grab my hands on season tickets next year. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah,
100%. I think them being 100% transparent and all their stuff, either right or wrong, was a great thing. The new rules, they worked. I mean, a lot of times I was like, okay, we need a score and a stop. And I was like, oh shit, we can actually go for three and actually essentially tie the game. So it was really creative to see. And I think there's a learning curve with coaches figuring out what's the best analytical approach for points and stuff. So to see them kind of think about what they should do at certain points was kind of cool. It was like a chess match within a chess match. But to see the city of Houston rep the Roughnecks that hard so quickly, only means that next season is going to be a party. And especially if there's no sports, if baseball somehow gets suspended for the year, that means the Rockets probably didn't finish the season out. And now you're looking at the Texans coming back in the fall, hopefully. So you go Texans back into, you know, the Roughnecks right after that. So it's it'll be really interesting how it all shakes out. But the one thing you can say, Houston gets a bad rap sometimes that they only show up when teams are winning. But to have a new franchise come about and fans flock over there, I think spoke very highly of Houston and the fans and the fan base a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because I mean, you know, like I said, 18,000 in the first game, 20,000. You know, maybe not everybody was bought, but you know, they were 2,000 shy between week one and week five. You know, so it goes to show people were interested. And maybe the first time they did the XFL, maybe it wasn't just a good time. You know, good idea, wrong time. But yeah, I think next year it may be even better.
Yeah. This is segue a bit with the potential aspect of nose. I'm really just fascinated that it's March Sadness now. We should be talking about what teams are going to the March Madness dance today, but we have no sports, I think the only thing open right now is UFC, and that's Dana White's doing that with no fans in the crowd. So what okay, Apollo Media doesn't exist. It's just David living day to day. What would you be doing in the next 3 or 4 months with zero sports?
Man, I don't know. That's tough because, like I said, you know, sports growing up, that's been everything for me. If I wasn't a part of Apollo Media, didn't have shit on my hands to do, I don't know, man.
He'd have an OnlyFans. He'd have an OnlyFans account, y'all. He would be grinding it on the cam.
Yeah, probably. I mean, if y'all into dad bods, I mean, that's about all I can say. Stomach may jiggle a little bit more than my ass, but you'll get some jiggling. no, I mean, I'd probably just be on the Xbox. I don't know. I'd probably go run or something. I don't know, because that's one thing I had put out more, you know, sports was over everything, even, you know, exercising, doing whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I'd probably just be on the Xbox a lot more and maybe just running, probably going to hit off the tee or something. I don't know. Yeah. that's tough to say.
I think we can let the cat out of the bag, but you guys seen it a bit over this past weekend. Apollo Media is jumping into the Twitch world. We should be having that fired off. Hopefully running smoother this upcoming week. We'll have more personalities on there playing games from Warzone, Call of Duty, to, you know, the show that just came out or comes out in 2 days, the early release. But I think we're going to pivot a bit, get more into Twitch and the esports side of things. It's a fascinating industry. I know there was teachers back in the day, and I've loved gaming. I love playing sports games. That's my shit. And obviously when Call of Duty came about, but I remember teachers saying, like, you can't play video games when you're older, and now it's a multi-billion-dollar industry. So yeah, Miss Jones, you were wrong about that. You could play video games and make a living these days, and we're gonna do that, and it's gonna be fun. I think we have enough people that are capable, one, of playing the games, but two, can carry conversations and be interactive with our audience, and with everyone quarantined up, it's gonna be another avenue for us to kind of to use.
Yeah, and I mean, I was trying to get mine going, and you know, like I said, Apollo Media. And technical difficulties, name a better duo, because I don't know. It just seems like, you know, our first run at something, it works. And then up until it's time that we needed to, and then it doesn't work. So, yeah, I mean, you guys are going to be running the show off of the PS4, which sucks, by the way. I'll be on Xbox running Call of Duty, maybe some Fortnite. I'm not that great at Fortnite, but maybe you can guys talk shit, you know, tell me I suck. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, you know, And I'd be totally down to get, you know, viewers in. If they want to join in, come join the stream, you know. We got ways to set it up so everybody can hear you guys. Everybody, you know, can be a part of the conversation. It's not just one-sided and everything. And I don't know, maybe we can just treat it almost like a podcast, you know. Like I said, have conversations with you guys and be interactive. Because, you know, with the new Warzone, I didn't know until I played it the first time. It's squads only, you know. It's you know, so we can get a group, you know, a four going and try to get, you know, some wins going on. I don't know. Try to get private lobbies going. I don't know if anybody's still into quickscoping. I try it every now and then. I'm decent. Got to rub the rust off, but yeah. So we got hopefully that be going for us within this coming week, if not by the beginning of next week.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be fun. I love playing Call of Duty. I'm excited to play Warzone. I'm excited to do that. I'm not excited about the 100 gigabytes they're gonna want me to use a download on the PlayStation. That takes forever to download. I think it's still installing right now. It's like I'm 13 hours, and I thought I paid a lot of money for good Wi-Fi, and apparently not.
Yeah, you gotta get the
But
hardwire connection, man.
I know, man. It's killing me. It's freaking killing me right now. So hopefully I'll be able to play, in 2 months when the quarantine's over, when it finally downloads. But it's gonna be cool to see and be interactive with everyone that's gaming, everyone that just likes to come in and chill out for, 5, 10 minutes or, an hour, how long we're on. You'll be able to come into our lobby and just shoot the shit and just chill with us. And I think that's unique. No one's doing it that much. I mean, in the sports and media world, obviously there's streamers that do it and make a ton of money and a living off it, but we're in it more to be more engaged with our audience and see you guys and, play video games with you guys, whether it's on the show or Call of Duty, whatever it is, 2K, FIFA. We're gonna do it. We have all the time in the world now to do that. But it'll be cool. Maybe set up some tournaments. $20 buy-in, winner takes all. We'll do cool things and just keep everyone engaged and disconnected a bit from the hysteria in the world of the coronavirus.
Yep. I mean, hopefully, like I said, hopefully we can get past our troubles with all these technical difficulties, because that just seems to be like
That's our calling card, bro.
yeah, it's like our
That's our
Achilles
shit.
heel,
Like, we launched a sports media company and we couldn't even get our launch video up for, 15 minutes.
we promised everybody a live video, and then 20 minutes later, all right, it's recorded. Got a room of smart motherfuckers and can't find one to get something right.
That's what makes us though, and I think everyone loves it. We get some shit, but we shoot it back to them, and it's so funny. I was laughing. I wasn't laughing when it was happening. I was freaking out. But once it happened, I was like, you know what? We're just gonna roll with it,
Yeah,
because that's
it's
who.
like our launch video. We were trying to get it uploaded. It took about 25 minutes to get it uploaded, and we were trying to post it right at 12. And they're like, "Well, shit, here it is, 12:07." We're like, "Well, fuck." So I had to put out the tweet like, "Hey, we're having technical difficulties."
Thanks, management.
Yeah.
That was so funny. Even the podcast, I was sitting there and I was like, oh, I'm gonna get it set up on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and I go on to Audio Boom, our hosting site, and I'm going through it all, and then it was like, okay, you submitted a review for the Mission Control podcast on Apple Podcasts. We'll get back to you in 2 to 3 weeks. And I was like, shit, we are launching literally the podcast number one as we speak on YouTube, and we can't even host it on Apple Podcasts right now because I dropped the ball and didn't, submit the paperwork, because that's what I do in life. I just assume everyone's gonna be ready for me when I need to be ready, and there's a process behind it. So we finally got it launched on Apple Podcasts, but it took like 2 weeks to even get it up and running. So it's just the story of Apollo Media. It's technical difficulties, like you say.
That's the way of the world, but we'll get over it. We'll get
Yeah.
over it, and eventually just take over. We'll see how that goes.
Exactly. I think before we wrap up here, your shirt design that's on the website, it took the original kind of Apollo A and you created a newer kind of streetwear type avenue, and I think that's what you'll see a little bit from Apollo Media on the merch side of things. We'll have a sports oriented side, and then we'll have more of a sportswear, more lifestyle type wear. And your first piece we highlighted, and it's kind of the first one of that second avenue. And just wanted to kind of talk to you about, you know, what was your concept? How did you think of that? And what kind of, if you want to tease some other ideas that you have in your mind coming down the pipeline?
Yeah, so, you know, we were talking in our group message, and I can't remember who it was. I believe it was Josh Rose. And he was like, hey, what if we do something with, like, the Apollo missions? And first thing that came into my head was the Apollo 11 patch. And, you know, and I believe it was one of the other guys, you know, that may have said it first. And I was like, okay, well, you know, instead of having the eagle, you know, obviously use our logo. And so, you know, obviously the moon's in the same position at the earth, the shadow, all that stuff. And I was like, all right, well, you know, it looks cool, but, you know, I wanted it to pop a little more. So, you know, just added some colors, some splash into it, you know, made it pop, made it, you know. I actually wore mine, I believe it was yesterday. And I don't know, it's that was one of the first times that I've actually done something on my own to be put on a shirt, be put, you know, for, I guess, mass production, and so to say. But yeah, it was pretty much just modeled right after the Apollo 11 patch. If you look at it, look at our, you know, the shirt design, you will see the resemblance in each. As for, you know, like the other one, you know, I have something in mind to where we, you know, we're going to do more for the sports, you know, sports colors. Obviously, you know, we don't have the rights to use the direct logos for any of these sports teams and whatnot. So the best we can do right now is, you know, just showcase the colors. Got something coming up hopefully soon with something in resemblance to like the Texas flag, you know, have each color, you know, the different colors of each team, the majority colors, something like that, something similar. And yeah, I mean, we got a few things going on. And hopefully I have another bright idea to come out with another lifestyle shirt, so to say, as you said. So we can be known as not just, you know, the sports side of things, but, you know, lifestyle side of things also, you know, the graphic t-shirts.
Yeah, for sure. I think with how many creative minds we have on our team, not to pigeonhole us just on sports, it's lifestyle, it's streetwear, it's everything. And once the quarantine's lifted, you'll be see another side of content. Obviously, hopefully we're in the thick of it with baseball and Rockets and Rockets playoffs and all that. Maybe the XFL picks back up if we're in a perfect world. But to highlight, you know, things around Houston, what makes Houston so special and great, that a lot of people don't know about. That was the one thing that when we created this, we weren't afraid that a Ringer or a Barstool or, you know, Bleacher Report would come down and create a Houston branch, and they wouldn't understand Houston for what Houston is. And that's everything that's made this city so special in its DNA. I mean, you saw it during Harvey. You see it every single day, the community coming together and helping your neighbor out. And that's what the city kind of, you know, personifies, from every small business. And, you know, there's downtown, but there's 10 downtowns, essentially. You can go somewhere throughout the city and it's somewhere different you haven't been before. So we want to highlight all those key things, highlight cool restaurants, places where everyone goes. I mean, everyone listening has their own, you know, unique watering hole or unique restaurant that they and their family have been going to for years and no one knows about. Let's highlight that. So that's that kind of pivot within Apollo itself is going to be really cool. And it highlights it with your streetwear and your Apollo. You can go to our site, apollohou.com. It's under the Apollo logo. You can find David Silva's shirt. I ordered mine. Mine's on its way. I can't wait to rock it. It'll be a, you know, every Saturday night shirt I wear out, because one, it represents our brand, but two, it's so unique and creative, and super thankful for you creating that, man.
Oh yeah. I mean, like I said, once you guys asked me to be a part of it, I, like I said, I hit the ground running. And it's pretty weird, for me because I had never been the creative, the artistic type, and for me to even do photography, obviously you gotta have some kind of creativity and some kind of, art talent, in a way. So yeah, I mean, like I said, that was, almost, one of the first things to be put out so it can be, like I said, so-called mass produced. And yeah, I mean, just hopefully, we can get past all this coronavirus, everybody getting quarantined, everybody mass buying milk that's not gonna last them 2 fucking weeks.
I know, bro.
and just like I said, that momentum that we had, just get it back and run with it. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited to be a part of the team, be a part of, everybody that be part and associated with everybody that's involved with us. And yeah, so I mean, hopefully we can get more things pumped out and, not so, it's just sports, it's lifestyle. It's people that, like you said, a Saturday night shirt, going out to the bar, going out to a game, whatever, you want to order an XL shirt, give it to your girlfriend. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. David, thank you so much for coming on the Mission Control podcast. You can follow him at Silva DJR underscore 94. Check out all his cool photos. Check out all his graphic designs he does for Apollo Media. David, thank you, man.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
No problem, bro. Thank you, David, and thank you, Taylor, for taking time out of your days to record that podcast and interview with us. Really great conversation. Really great to get to know our team members a lot better, for you guys to see who they are, hear who they are, and what drives them and what makes Apollo Media so great. And that's our team members. That's it for episode 3. We'll wrap it up. I do want to take some time and say, thoughts and prayers to everyone affected by the coronavirus so far. It does look like it's creeping into the homeland quite a bit, and the next few weeks could be rocky. So, educate yourselves, read up on it, listen to the health officials, listen to the professionals, sanitize your hands, wash your hands, social distance yourselves. You may not be sick, but you can infect someone else. You're already probably working from home, so. Just take some time, do some things around the house, do some spring cleaning. When you're done doing that in the first hour, hop on over to Apollo Media, see what we're doing. We'll be twitching up quite a bit, so you guys jump into the chat, hang out for a bit. So look out for episode 4. It'll be with the notorious one, at Mr. Bobby B1. He'll be jumping on the podcast for episode 4 and. We don't have really a lot of sports to talk about, so we're just gonna, shoot the shit, drink some booze, and see where the conversation takes us. So it'll be a good conversation, a crazy one for sure. That should be coming out next week. But thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you. Remember, like, subscribe, resubscribe, 5-star review. We're on Apple Podcasts now, so let's get those numbers up. Let's do this. If we get 20 5-star reviews, 20, I will give away 4 free shirts. 4. I think I could do that. It's my company. Josh's company as well. Yeah, we could do that. 4 free shirts, 25 star reviews. By the time episode 4 drops, and we'll get those out to the people. So, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you guys soon.